If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTRadio.live. This is the Hervoy Moritz Show on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Round two, and I thought I'd start with a good quote from Glenn Greenwald today regarding the whole Tucker Carlson affair. He said Tucker Carlson is the most successful host in the history of cable news. Even in his stripped down Twitter form, he attracted an audience almost no corporate media employee could get close to. Is it possible this partially motivates the universal disdain they have for him? I have no doubt their unified contempt is ideological as well. Carlson most aggressively attacks the institutions they most revere, the CIA and the U.S. security state, large corporations, the establishment wings of both parties, but maybe professional jealousy is also at play. And yeah, I think that's part of it, not all of it. And so it's I might add that beyond that, they also want to make an example of him, like they made an example of Trump at the presidential level. Now in the media sphere, they want to make an example of the Trump of media so that no one, so they can say that, you know, anyone who tries to be a dissident in media now, this is how you're going to finish. And we've got Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister of Russia, coming out and saying Russia will never again accept U.S. rules. Russia is at the forefront of a global rebellion against U.S. hegemony. He says, quote, over the last couple of years, we have been returning to Africa and Latin America. The determination has accumulated never to accept the rules that Washington is imposing. Its role is diminishing slowly but surely. An increasing number of nations are disillusioned with it, as well are its citizens like myself. So, interesting. We'll see what happens. And I don't think I mentioned this yesterday. Apparently, Mexico's president AMLO has come out and said, described the slayings of five men caught on security camera footage as an apparent execution by Mexican soldiers, and vowed that the perpetrators would face justice. Video from a store security camera that was published this week showed a black pickup truck crashing full speed into a wall in Nuevo Laredo. A Mexican military truck apparently pursuing it arrived shortly thereafter and ran into the passenger side of the pickup. The occupants of the truck were dragged out, kicked, and forced up against the wall. They were later found dead. Apparently, this was an execution that cannot be permitted. Those responsible are about to be turned over to the appropriate authorities. So this would be a case, I suppose, of an extrajudicial killing by the Mexican military. I think there may have been those that they executed may have had arms, firearms, and whatnot. But still, this was caught on video. Hopefully, we can do something to begin to turn things around here in Mexico, because yeah, it's not good and we need some more rule of law. Some algorithm ghetto news. How about that? Uganda plans biometric gates at land borders to control trade fraud. Yeah, right. It's just to control trade fraud. Yeah, has nothing to do with the Mark of the Beast system. Nothing at all. The Uganda Revenue Authority has hinted on a plan to introduce automated gates at border entry points in order to tighten the noose on trade fraud and other irregularities in cross-border trade transactions. The gates will involve facial recognition checks for business persons crossing the borders. And with the system, travelers' faces will be matched against biometric data in the immigration department to verify the authenticity of their travel documents. Facial recognition gates for passport checks will add to other AI-based tech options already in use, such as digital scanners for cargo barcode readers, and so on and so forth. The cyber gulag marches on. You've also got Sberbank, which works with Klaus Schwab and Company. Sberbank out there in Russia continues aggressive moves to lock up local market for retail face biometrics. There are a lot of problems with even covering business in Russia, but from a flurry of reports, facial recognition for payments is blossoming quickly in Russia, right? The Russia that's anti-globalist, anti-New World Order? No, facial recognition is blossoming in Russia. A surprising volume of the biometric news out of the troubled economy involves state-owned financial services from Sberbank. They want to make sure its retail network of face scanning terminals work as built and hold off competitors. They've deployed new mobile biometric access control system based on AI and co-developed with Sberbank. You see everywhere, Uganda, Russia, they want to deploy access control. Access control, that's the key word. They want to control your access to everything and anything. Entering into the country, leaving your home, buying stuff, working. Absolutely insane. Oh, but wait, there's more. Kenya factors in biometrics in three-year digital government plan. The government has launched Huduma Kenya Digitalization Plan, which aligns with the country's digitization agenda to deepen and expand access to digital government services through the introduction of new platforms such as the centralized biometric system and the digital ID ecosystem. Total digital control. Algorithm ghetto. All right, at TNT Radio, we never go home. We're committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We broadcast live 24/7 online globally, no matter what. Unless Cobra Commander Klaus Schwab pulls the plug, then we can't transmit. But until then, we've got you covered on TNT Radio.
Stream us anywhere.
I listen on Alexa.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
According to my favorite government agency, according to internal Department of Homeland Security documents recently made public, the DHS was seeking to automate the process of labeling social media accounts as pro-terrorist and wanted to assign individual users with a risk score based on their online activity. Here with the story, joining me once again, is TNT Radio News producer Adam Clark, Captain, or otherwise known as Captain Ruckus.
Captain Ruckus. All right. Thanks for writing. So I'm not sure if you play video games. So did you ever play Grand Theft Auto, or you're at least familiar with the way those ones work?
I actually just bought Diablo 4, which came out. But I never was really a GTA fan.
Okay. Yeah, I don't like the games either. But most people might be aware of the fact that there is a feature inside the Grand Theft Auto series called the Wanted level, and it's either, I think it's a 5-star system, and basically it measures 1 star is like the least aggressive, 5 star is the most aggressive and potentially lethal, and basically the higher your wanted level is in Grand Theft Auto, the more cops are going to be coming after you all the time. So if you keep yourself on the DL, the down low in the game, you won't be bothered, but as soon as you start robbing people or shooting the hookers, as they often do in those games, and then steal their money, naturally, then increases your wanted level and you start getting chased by the police. This story reminds me very much of that, combined with the good old contact tracing scheme that we experienced during the pandemic. This is really wild, and it's got a fascinating name. But according to these documents, which were obtained by the Brennan Center for Justice and published on Tuesday, the DHS operated a program that sought to automate the designation of social media users as quote-unquote pro-terrorist, okay, based on their use of certain keywords and based on their interaction with other users who already have been targeted. Crazy. So this is called, or was called, Project Night Fury. A partnership between the DHS and the University of Alabama at Birmingham. They sought to assign potentially quote-unquote pro-terrorist accounts a quote-unquote risk score, kind of similar to the aforementioned wanted level in the video game, that would then affect other accounts they interacted with, very much like the aforementioned contact tracing. The university had agreed to develop automated methods to determine whether an account linked to one already under surveillance was itself quote-unquote pro-terrorist using criteria like quote keyword set comparisons, end quote. The algorithm, not a human, of course, would determine whether a user could be labeled, quote unquote, pro-terrorist for simply clicking like on a Facebook post or retweeting an account that had already received that label. Despite the known limits of artificial intelligence when this system was being formulated way back in 2018, the entire process would have been automated, according to the documents. What could possibly go wrong there? The university was assigned to build models to, quote, identify key influencers of pro-terrorist thought, end quote. You mean thought criminals? Crazy. And create an automated system to uncover bots, quote, programmatically generated to exert influence, end quote, to spread both, quote unquote, terrorist propaganda and, quote, foreign influence campaigns, end quote. They would then compile a list of suspect accounts and turn them over to the DHS along with their names, emails, phone numbers, pictures, and posts. Yay! So I don't know if you got a chance to dig into this motherboard from Vice, dug much deeper into it, and of course you can go check out these documents. But what do you think about this, Herori?
Well, they say DHS wanted to track internet users. I don't believe them. I would say they are doing it as we speak. And they're going to keep doing it. And, you know, risk score, that sounds like social credit score. The algorithm, ghetto. And this is, if you ask me, underway. They're patchworking these systems together. And, you know, maybe there will come some sort of singularity at some point where they'll be able to fuse this stuff together and then really control us and deplatform and debank us at a much broader level. And yeah, this is a trend. I don't want to be someone who's like pretending it's not, some people that are just sticking their heads in the sand. I mean, look, this is the trend. It's gaining momentum. It keeps going. Nothing is stopping it. That's the reality. That is the reality. And as you know, just before you joined us, I was just, you know, Biometric Update, a really good website that factually tracks this stuff. It was like the other day I was talking about Papua New Guinea and Philippines and Kuwait rolling, you know, these digital systems out. Today it was, I already forgot, Kenya and I don't know what, Russia. They're all deploying AI surveillance, facial recognition cameras, which, you know, it all comes together. So we're heading, you know, straight into this global dystopian system, and DHS is like the Stasi ruckus.
Right, yeah, this is not... I guess this is a revelation of the method. I don't. Maybe this is to test to see, did people get freaked out if they thought we were just considering doing this? I mean, we don't want them to know, as you said, that they're really doing it already. But what about the name? I mean, speaking of video games, that sounds like a cool video game name, Night Fury. Where do they come up with these silly names? This is so crazy to me.
Probably the DHS people are smoking the dope that they, you know, confiscated from. Or I don't know. They had the, what was it called? The Extreme Vetting Initiative. And yeah, Night Fury. Isn't that a character from the Marvel universe, maybe? Or am I getting mixed up with Nightcrawler and Nick? Is it Nick Fury? I can't remember, but
yeah.
Yeah, it's freaky. It's freaky, and it says the lesser social media networks DHS wanted to also study included, of course, Telegram and VK. I don't even know what Zello is, Google Plus. So, yeah, it's pretty hardcore. Your further thoughts? I are probably somewhere, have a lower risk score, no? I mean,
yeah,
higher.
Not, not that anyone ever likes or retweets my posts, but don't, everybody, if you're listening. Go ahead and follow me if you like, but it's on you if you want to click that like button, because you never know. Guilty by association, as they say. That's what's scary to me, is this idea that, let's say, it's kind of like playing the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon game. So, like, you follow a particular account because they're pro America, but that person, unbeknownst to you, is super MAGA, and they follow other accounts. And one of the other accounts that this person follows, that you follow, but you don't follow this other account that they follow, happens to be one of the J6 protesters. And because of that, this guy has been attached himself a score, unbeknownst to him and unbeknownst to you. And he posts a flag meme on July 4th to celebrate the 4th of July, and you click retweet. And now you also just got yourself a risk score. It's crazy.
I actually had someone that I knew, a former coworker, who I was telling them all about this stuff years ago. And then I was telling them how I got, you know, banned from Patreon and stuff like that. And they quickly, I think, digitally disassociated from me. They were Croatian and lived under communism. And they were like, I don't want to have anything to do with this guy, and they got very paranoid. And I've tried that once, like on Pentagon Book Facebook, to go back and try to like unlike everything and delete posts, but it just takes forever, and oftentimes they don't unlike it. You go back and it's still liked or whatever. In any case, they've got probably backup copies. And I don't know how to think. You know, on one hand, I think, like, I'm already halfway done with life. Pretty soon I'm going to be dead. You know, life just is short and I don't care anymore. But all right, Ruckus, catch up with you tomorrow. And the phone lines are open. We got Randy from Soundwave Promotions joining us from also here in Mexico.
Rick Munn on TNT Radio.
I do believe that anything we see to do with Zelensky's been fed to us for a reason, but at the same time, his time is coming to an end. He will surely be exited from the stage one way or another. He looks like he's shot to bits at the minute, and it's not an act. He could have actually been told to sit down and say, right, I want you to snort 4 lines of coke here and be as unhinged. It's like, me not want to do that, but somebody's got a metaphorical gun to his head, and I do believe he's absolutely shot the bits, and his time is coming to an end. And if you saw him last week with that ninny, Rishi Sunak, sitting grinning like a Cheshire cat while Zelensky was twitching and rubbing his nose and splayed all over his chair, yeah, I think it's coming to the end of the road over there, and they're going to go scorched earth as much as possible to try and save face or escalate it to a full-on boots-on-the-ground conflict, which is, let's face it, what they've been angling towards for quite some time now.
He's locked and loaded. Rick Munn on today's News Talk TNT Radio.
Have you ever felt like time was moving too fast? Do you need a break from the hustle and bustle of your daily routine? Then come and experience Sam Sam Yao Noi, where time slows down and magic comes to life on the stunning Yao Noi Island in southern Thailand. Our private villas and public spaces are quiet, spacious, and very inspirational. Inside and outside magic spaces, you'll find exceptional facilities and a full contemporary art collection to inspire your senses. Our dedicated Sam Sam family is here to provide bespoke services to make your stay unforgettable. Let nature and our Sam Sam family team take over, and you'll get the utmost recalibration of your mental balance. Discover the enchantment that awaits you at Sam Sam Yao Noi. Book your stay today at Sam Sam Yao Noi and experience our magic places. Magic spaces for yourself.
Book your stay in Thailand now and visit samsam-spaces.com.
Like Bob Marley said,
get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
From big tech censorship to calling out government tyranny, TNT Radio has the guts to say what you're thinking and gives you the platform to be heard. Call the open line anytime in the U.S. and Canada. Call 1-888-
201-6425. In the UK, call 033-024-1026. And in Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310.
Stand up for your right.
Free speech has a home on TNT Radio.
Back on the program, it's been a while. He was with us last year, is Randy, who runs Soundwave Promotions. He helps creators promote their content on social media and video platforms. For the last 2+ years, he's been making short 1 or 2 minute clips of podcasts and content with logos and graphics and shares them on 10+ platforms. So if you need that type of work, do reach out to Randy. He's also an American expat living here in Mexico, where I am. He's recently married and trying to escape to the beach or the jungle where, whenever possible, as I am. Follow him on Twitter at Soundwave Promo and the number 1, or his link tree is linktr.ee/soundwavepromo. You'll find all his stuff there. Welcome back to the program, Randy.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
It's been quite a while. So you didn't end up going back to the States. You're still here in Mexico. So I guess that's a good sign. Mexico's treating you well.
Oh yeah, we love it here. It was the best thing we've ever done. Getting out of California for sure.
California, right, as they say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I tweeted something out today about them giving illegal immigrants $300 a month or a week unemployment, and they don't really have to prove that they were employed to begin with.
Yeah, I saw that clip from Fox. That's crazy. They're just giving them $300, and I guess anyone can just receive that $300 a week.
Yeah, well, it's as long as you say you've been working and you're quote unquote illegal, I guess. I think it's crazy. It's about take home. I took home about a little over twice that when I was working in California in a slave wage job. It just amazes me what they're doing there. I'm just so glad I got out.
Could you be legal and then pretend you're illegal?
Yeah, that's what we keep joking about. Maybe renouncing our U.S. citizenship just to go back. To be treated better than when we were actually living there and paying taxes.
And by the way, to renounce, I recently had on my podcast Andrew Henderson of Nomad Capitalist, and he's renounced his citizenship. And now to renounce is almost like $2,500 to renounce your U.S. citizenship, whereas it used to be under $1,000. And I think it probably takes, I don't know how many months to set an appointment and all that.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll be renouncing my citizenship anytime soon. But, just further on Mexico, there's always issues. You know, here in my municipality, they found 7 young people disappeared. Then they found bodies with remains, like 45 plastic bags with remains and stuff. And we had AMLO, the president, today comments on apparently Mexican military carried out extrajudicial killings against men in a pickup truck. Supposedly those men were armed, but in any case, they just put them up against the wall and
executed
killed them. But apart from that, again, it's mostly if you're going about your business and you're not being dumb, you're here, I'm here. Mexico is very enjoyable, and after having been here for the time that you've been here, what are any other revelations, recommendations? Do you still see an influx of foreigners, Americans, Canadians into Mexico?
Right now, like tourist season right now just kind of ended here in the area we're at, which is near Cancun. So it's slowed down drastically, but this the peak season, it was really busy, and they weren't able or ready to handle it. After COVID basically killed the tourism, everything kind of went bare bones, and then everybody kind of came back with a lot of gusto that they weren't expecting. So it seemed like a little more hectic this year than the past year that we were here. But, you know, we haven't been here long enough to really gauge a long-term path of, you know, the comings and goings. But we have found that, you know, we're not going towards the touristy areas as much anymore. We're actually going into the jungle, which is a lot more private, and we're having a lot more fun doing that.
You're practicing for when Klaus Schwab releases the killer drones disappearing into the jungle, like Predator. It'll be like the Predator 4, you know, killer drones.
That's funny because we just went on our honeymoon and we stayed in the jungle at a cenote, and they had Wi-Fi there, and we were like, "Wow, you guys have Wi-Fi here?" And they're, "Yeah, we're hooked up to Starlink." I was like,
"You can't escape the algorithm ghetto, the 5G." I've actually got to start with Starlink, and I do have to admit that technology is amazing. Apparently they have high coverage of the entirety of Mexico, Starlink, and you can I've seen big Mexican YouTubers test it, go to like a rural countryside village in Mexico where they don't even have cell phone signal, and the Starlink is functioning, and you're getting like, you know, 50 megabyte download, and when I tested it, that's what I got, and I got like 20 to 30 upload. I mean, that's fast. And so what everyone thinks of Musk, that technology would enable, you know, you or me or whoever to be working and doing our stuff from anywhere. In Mexico.
Technology is such a double-edged sword. You know, it's so great and horrible at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, the smartphone and everything. But Randy, we're going to have to jump to our headlines with James.
Turn on the news.
I have a little news flash.
TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of the day's headlines. China is forcing the United States and its allies out of the region and preparing for a blockade of Taiwan, according to Grant Newsom, retired Marine colonel and author of When China Attacks. On Monday, Rishi Sunak made a surprise visit to Dover, the main landing point for people smuggler boats, to herald his government's alleged success in bringing down the numbers of illegal migrants. Now Brexit leader Nigel Farage has declared that Rishi Sunak is the biggest spinner in Downing Street since Tony Blair.
God, you're amazing. You're a much better listener than my wife. You're always there for me. I think I may be in love.
Where is she?
It's not what it seems. I was talking to...
Who's the tramp I heard you talking to?
That was my Alexa, sweetie.
Well, she sounds like a tramp.
Fall in love with news and talk all over again with your smart device. Just tell it to play.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
We continue our conversation with Randy of Soundwave Promotions. He creates short clips for podcasts and content with logos and graphics. So you can hit him up if you need some assistance at linktree.com/soundwave promo on Twitter at soundwave promo1. And just, you know, a further note on Mexico to get your thought. I was recently, I've been traveling to the US recently and coming back, and I'm hearing the same story where just many folks in the U.S. are saying they're stressed. They want to go back to their countries of origin if they could. But, you know, just they say people in America are just working like mad. Yes, they make good money, but they work like mad. They don't have time really to hang out with friends or family. And I'm just hearing that over and over again. And that Mexico, a number of folks that just hearing conversations at the airport out and about, I was hearing these conversations where, like, Mexico, yeah, you make less, but you're not stressed and you enjoy life more and you spend more time with people. And that's exactly how I feel as well. And, you know, do you have any thought on that?
Yeah, I would think especially if you're a people person, this place, you know, it's a great place to live and work, you know, be part of the community. You know, what I do, I'm in the house. I'm in front of my computer like all the time. I'm working like an American, but I live in Mexico, unfortunately, for now. Hopefully that'll change in the future. We'll see. But yeah, if you're a people person and you love to work, you know, around people, this would be a great place to work. And yeah, I would say that the pace of life here is a lot slower and it's less stressful. You're not in a hurry trying to get everywhere. You're not trying to get things done in a certain amount of time. You know, it's go with the flow.
But even if even if it's a situation like yours, you know, at least in my case, you know, like you can say, or in many people's cases, oh, hey, let's go to the beach, depending how close or far, you know, close you are, mm-hmm. or let's go to this. People go for the weekend to cabins. I mean, people are always going somewhere to relax here. And mm-hmm. even just getting out of your house, I don't know. I felt much, much less stress. And in the U.S., I was just shocked that here you can use cash for pretty much everything, Mexico. But in the U.S., it's like really, we've already got, we're halfway with the social credit system. I couldn't buy Starbucks coffee in cash. I was shocked. I'm like, I had put my order in already. And the lady, I mean, I have like one card that half the time doesn't work. It's like in an emergency. Mm-hmm. And I guess my emergency was buying coffee. I couldn't use cash. I'm like, what is going on? And
they announced that like last year, I think. I remember,
Starbucks?
I made a meme about it. You know, like, hey, if you want to go cashless, you know, if you go cashless, you're basically enslaved. And Starbucks, you know, is it Starbucks worth being enslaved for? You know,
it's weird because I don't really go much to Starbucks in Mexico.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you were in the States at the time. So.
Yeah, but last time I did, I've never seen that happen in Starbucks Mexico, but I think it was related to another issue. But, you know, that gets to the whole Great Reset. I'm sure you're watching, as I am, podcasts and interviews and films. I still haven't watched Plandemic 3. I'm hoping to get to that this mm-hmm. weekend. That was just came out last
release
weekend. But how do you feel? Where are we at with the Great Reset? It seems like now they're running, you know, I didn't get to this in the news segment, but we've got these Canada wildfires, mm-hmm. which the White House says it's an alarming example of climate change. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. my weekly guest from Canada, Terry Wolf, says there's evidence that they're being set deliberately. And it's mm-hmm. interesting because they're saying that Denmark now, just today, Denmark goes 2 weeks without rain for the first time since 2006. And I was having this discussion yesterday with someone here in Mexico. We haven't seen a drop of rain yet. Where I am, the rainy season is supposed to be starting, but it's not happening. So it's like in Denmark, there's no rain. Where we are, the rainy season is not coming. They've got Canada wildfires. People are posting. Uh-huh. They've been comparing. Someone put together a photo from Blade Runner 2049 and then New York City 2023, and it looks the same. And I think this is like the next phase of Great Reset. It was COVID and then the Ukraine war, and it's just so predictable. It's like, yeah, they're mm-hmm. geoengineering the weather to make it look like it's a climate pandemic, and then they're going to say, look, we got to take away the cars. Look how it's the apocalypse. Look, the sky mm-hmm. is orange and red.
You got to save the world. Be a hero. Well,
There's no water. There's no rain in Mexico and Denmark. You know, meanwhile, behind the scenes, they're geoengineering. And then they're saying, look, you got to give up your cars now. The cars will become illegal. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to stay in your homes, keep the windows closed because of the pollution. You know, you don't want to mm-hmm. breathe in contaminated air, so on and so forth. What's your take regarding all of this?
We are the carbon they want to reduce. Basically, if you buy into the climate scam, you are in the death cult, and you're basically rooting for the death of humanity. That's how I feel about it. Example in California, every spring they drain all the reservoirs, and then in the summer everything burns. They don't manage the forests very well there either. You're not allowed to chop down dead trees, you know, blah, blah, blah. All the, you know, preserving the wildlife, which isn't very important, but forests need to be managed and they don't get managed. So they burn. And then they scream climate change after they drained all the reservoirs. There's no water. and they scream drought and climate change, and then people keep voting for more of trying to fix it when it's, you know, problem, reaction, solution, being forced on us by the governments of the world. You know, Club of Rome, look into it. Well, I gotta say, Google Club of Rome and read.
Yeah, I mean, I got some of their books I bought on eBay or wherever years ago, the original copies from the 70s, and they've got, for me, the most fascinating, they've got that map of the world from the 70s where it divides into 10 regions of the world, like 10 kingdoms or 10 regional unions.
The Hunger Games.
Yeah, or, you know, as the Book of Daniel talks about the end times where there's 10 kingdoms. And you know, basically we've got the Club of Rome dividing the world into 10 political regional units. What's going on here? You know, just to add to that, I saw a tweet yesterday from Samuel Garcia, the governor of Nuevo León. Now, this is the guy who, like a year or two ago, tried to introduce an article to his state's constitution, which said, if you make fun of me on social media, 36 hours straight to jail, 36 hours jail and a fine. That was rescinded. And then he went out to the climate change meetings in the UN last year. And then he went out to Davos. He was literally posting photos of him hanging out with Klaus Schwab. He invited Schwab back to Nuevo León, Mexico. He at the climate meeting, he said he wants to get rid of everyone's cars in his state. And now he tweets, he says, there's no government which can control the weather, or he says, control the climate crisis alone. So this is why we're summoning all forces of everyone, municipalities, the states, the nation, businesses, NGOs, academia, and the citizens. So he's literally, it just came to me, it sounds just like King Charles III. Remember, like a year or two ago when he was Prince Charles, he said, we need a military Marshall Plan. And literally, it's like, that's what Samuel Garcia is saying in Mexico, no?
Yeah, that sounds like it to me. You know, one world government. They want us all, you know, locked down. Especially, and they're conning everybody into it by making them feel guilty if they don't support it. And people don't look deep enough to realize that they're being manipulated, and they just go along with it because in the end, most people are decent people. They just want to go along to get along. And they don't realize that they're hurting themselves and everybody else around them. Like, I just saw a story today about, you know, three in 10 Zoomers, Gen Zs, say that they're okay if the government installed cameras in their house. That's a third. A third of the youth think that it's okay.
You mean you're not okay with that? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's insane. Right?
Like, I know, but the fact that there's a third of them, like, what's the, hopefully the next generation is so rebellious against their parents that they just go the, I mean, I don't know. I feel like the pendulum is just going to keep swinging farther and farther.
I think the next generation is going to be like 60% are going to say, let's put cameras in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because
they're filming. They've all got the TikToks and Instagrams. It. Yeah, and they're posting their daily meals and scantily clad bodies and everything on all of these systems. So it just makes perfect sense that they would.
Yeah, like, we do it to ourselves. So why not let them do it? You know, I got nothing to hide. You know, until, like, you know, you say something and they catch you saying something that they don't like, and now you're in the gulag. You know.
Yeah, you're in the algorithm gulag, the cyber gulag, and, you know, censorship. Yeah. I don't know what you think. It's funny, you know, I mentioned this week. YouTube supposedly reversed its election censorship politics, so now you can criticize the 2020 election. And then I had two guests of mine on my podcast. Who had their YouTube videos were taken down from my channel, my interviews with them. And the reason was because they questioned the 2020 election. So I appealed to YouTube and actually included a link to YouTube's own blog post where they said we're reversing this now in the appeal. And then I got the email from YouTube saying, sorry, we're not putting back up these videos that they didn't say it, but you know, they said, we're not putting them back up, but basically they're like, we're not putting them back up. These videos that criticized the 2020 election, even though we, you know what I'm saying? They're just straight out lying. And so have you been
basically
tracking
daring you to repost them and see, you know, see what happens. They take your account down or something.
Yeah. They're just trying I mean, it's just, they're just playing PR and politics, but do you feel censorship is getting worse? By the way, I was trying to, when I tweeted today, I typed in your Twitter. You've got like two Twitters, and I typed one in literally letter, like to the letter, and it would not appear as a tag. It's like you were blacklisted. I've never seen that happen before, because usually if you type in someone's exact username, they will appear in the tweet you're trying to make, and yours didn't. And so I just had to tweet blindly, hoping that that was the correct one, and it was, but it didn't appear. I mean, have you noticed that?
No, like I've tested it, trying to see, you know, they say if you do that, then you're like shadow banned, quote unquote. But I always get towards the end and my name will pop up, but never all the way and it not pop up. That's crazy. Yeah, I know you know, I retweet a lot of people's stuff, and like the previous guest was talking about, you know, you guys were talking about how, you know, you retweet somebody and, you know, now you've been dinged because they're like friends with a J6er. Or something, you know. So I feel like censorship's kind of been the same for me. It hasn't changed. It's just bad all the time. I had a TikTok taken down and I appealed it, and they put it back up, and then 7 hours later they took the same post down again and gave me a different reason. And that reason, they give you no option to appeal. It's like a vague, basically we can take down whatever we want, whenever we want. And it was a clip about, you know, a guy talking about how they fooled us with the COVID thing and how, you know, people need to pay, you know, they hurt us. And yeah, I just feel like it's the same. It hasn't changed for me. It's just, really more or less what I'm trying to do, you know?
Yeah. All right, Randy, we're going to have to jump to our break. People can find your stuff at linktr.ee/soundwavepromo and on Twitter as well at soundwavepromo and the number one. If anyone wants to call in and shoot the breeze, do feel free. We'll be right back.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
You may have missed it, folks, but as of last Friday, YouTube's policy of not allowing videos that question the 2020 election results has changed big time. From the company's blog, 2 years, tens of thousands of video removals, and one election cycle later, we recognize it was time to reevaluate the effects of this policy in today's changed landscape. We find that while removing the content does curb some misinformation, it could also have the unintended effect of curtailing political speech without meaningfully reducing the risk of violence or other real world harm. With that in mind, and with the 2024 campaigns well underway, we will stop removing content that advances false claims that widespread fraud, errors, or glitches occurred in the 2020 presidential election. Really? It took them 2 years to figure out that whole thing? But it's a drop in the bucket. We still have a leftist media that claims Donald Trump and his events shouldn't even get covered because of what they call his lies and misinformation. A former and perhaps future president of the United States. So good for YouTube, but censoring is what the left in this country is all about. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
For so many reasons, access to healthcare remains an enormous challenge for millions of children around the country. Imagine trying to manage a child's asthma while living in an urban homeless shelter, or growing up in a rural community where the nearest pediatrician is 3 hours away. Children's Health Fund has an innovative solution, a doctor's office on wheels that is actually a fully equipped mobile medical clinic. We go where kids need us most.
Visit childrenshealthfund.org to find out more.
A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
Info at your beck and call.
The stunning developments.
Stay tuned for updates.
Just tell your smart device to play TNT Radio.
It's our last segment with Randy from Soundwave Promotions, who's down here in Mexico and loving it. Find him on Twitter at Soundwave Promo number one, Linktree/Soundwave Promo. And maybe get your thoughts on alternative media. There's still some trudging along, some of the alt tech systems. I still post stuff, but not as often as I used to, my stuff. But I've still got MeWe, Gab, Minds, Getter. I stopped using Float for the moment because for a while I was using them and then their website was down or something. And then they said they were going to completely migrate to a new system. And so I just kind of, for the moment, stopped using it. But there doesn't seem to be
so much. Yeah, I had no idea. Sorry to interrupt. I had no idea they were migrating. I thought they were just shut down, period.
Are you still using Float?
No, well, the website went down, and I saw that they said, like, you know, so long, Float. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess it's over. But so then I haven't tried to get back on. Oh, did it come back on? Great.
But that was months ago. I'm going to check
it
out. Oh,
well, I should look into it because, I really enjoyed, Kingsley and Aaron, I think her name. Yeah, Aaron. They're really nice folks that ran
they've
that
been
site.
Here. I just went to my own Float website and a Float app site, and it's an error message. So
yeah,
I guess maybe they didn't get traction, and I don't know what's going on, or maybe they've already migrated. But it seems like everyone's, the Twitter trick worked. People were beginning to migrate, and then they opened up a bit with Elon Musk, and so people are now. Using Twitter, but Telegram and Twitter for me are useful. I just I can't gain traction on other platforms. Some are having a lot of success on Rumble increasingly, but others I feel are just stagnating. Even Gab, I don't know that's probably like my third or fourth better option compared to others. But what's your take on the lay of the land when it comes to alternative media platforms?
A lot of the platforms I'm on, it's stagnant, but it's hard to take the time and to curate, for every platform. I'm sure if I did, I'd have more success, but Rumble seems, I'm getting followers every now and again, so that's nice. Where before I wasn't getting anything, it was just stagnant. But I've been trying to promote more for Rumble, Odyssey, TikTok. I'm on the Hive blockchain also. They have a bunch of social media apps on there that are pretty nice. But yeah, it's mostly stagnant on them. I'm getting some success on Instagram right now because they let me get one of my posts through. It's not being stopped by the algorithm, it seems like, because it's been just going off for the last like 2 weeks steady. I haven't had one of those in a year or two. So it's like nice when they throw you a bone. TikTok, yeah. I'm always getting shadow banned. Odyssey is kind of stagnant, even though I think that's my favorite video platform.
It is, but I think one of the dangers there was their issue with the SEC that came ruled against them. And then I don't know how they're going to go forward with the tokens. I haven't really seen much news, but I feel that's one of the reasons they've lost some momentum. What do you
think? Yeah, and it seems like Gab, like you were saying, it seems like it's slowed down a lot. I think once election time rolls around, the Trumpers will kind of, that'll probably start getting filled up more because Twitter will probably be censoring. Who knows?
I'm going.
I have a feeling maybe. Oh, you
go ahead.
Go for it. I was going to say I have a feeling. Yeah, I have a feeling that. They're going to have Trump. They're going to select Trump again. I have a feeling just to make everybody go crazy.
But yeah, that's a very good point. I don't put so much faith anymore into voting, especially after COVID. I feel like globally all politicians did whatever Tedros the terrorist wanted. But nonetheless, you know, it's like probably my last chance ever to vote for a Kennedy, an anti-deep state Kennedy, and right. for whatever it's worth, at least, you know, ideologically, philosophically, I'll feel at least, you know, like when I voted for Ron Paul, who I got to meet last weekend, which was so cool. He was the only person, if I can recall, that I had voted for on principle. And I feel at least, you know, mm-hmm. RFK Jr. would be that sort of person. Again, I don't even know if it's going to be possible to vote easily from abroad. But do you have any thoughts on the elections, RFK Jr., our descent into a second civil war in the U.S. or anything like that?
Yeah, you know, my philosophy when it comes to politics and voting is it's just all a show. I don't I try not to invest too much into it. You know, I kind of want to know what's going on just so I know what's going on, or what they're letting us know what's going on. So then I can kind of decipher what's going on in the background. But yeah, for the most part, it's like watching World Wrestling Federation, you know, the WWE, you know, it's they're playing make-believe up there and people believe them and, you know, they do whatever they want and they get away with it. Nobody pays or anything. There's no responsibility, you know, paid by the people that are, you know, we're the people, we're supposed to be the ones that are dictating to the government, but we're letting the government dictate to us. You know, I keep using that us as in I'm in the US, but I'm not anymore. I kind of feel like I'm a, you know, I'm Mexican for the most part now. You know, I'm sure they wouldn't, citizens here probably wouldn't think so, but I don't know. I feel more at home here than I did when I was living there. So
get on your Mexican citizenship. You are still in the U.S. Uh-huh. Mexico is it's part of a northern command. It's part of it's right. a vassal of the U.S.
Exactly.
let's see real quick. Let's go. We just got a few minutes left. We got Joe on the line. Real quick, what's going on, Joe?
Hey, guys. San Diego's not too commie. I think the L.A. and the Bay Area is more, a lot worse than San Diego stays kind of under the radar here in California. Not sure where this guest is, California. Yeah, wanted to get your take on this dam thing, Hervoy. I haven't heard if you've really gone into that yet in Hatterson. There's kind of really hasn't been any reaction from Russia yet. I mean, I was listening to Scott Ritter and that guy you've had on, the other Russian guy. I mean, they've kind of been quiet. I mean, no real bellicose stuff from Medvedev yet. Do you kind of think Russia is still just kind of lying in the cut, playing their role in this this kind of global game? I mean, do you think, I mean, these escalations just keep getting more and more extreme here. Now you've got a whole city flooded. You know, what I just wanted to get your take on that.
I talked briefly last hour with Dr. Robert Rabel, professor in Florida, about this. And, you know, he mentioned the New York Times interviewed an expert that said, you know, it seems like it was a bomb from inside the dam, which tends to, you know, it coming from the Ukrainians. Another, you know, yet just the same old false flags from the Western side. You know, as my contributor Nikola Mikovic says, I mean, Russia is quiet because maybe it won't or can't do anything about it, and they just take it on the chin. Maybe they're playing the long game and hoping for the dollar to finally collapse, so the Western system collapses. I don't know. You know, do you have any thoughts? I haven't asked you yet, Randy, about Ukraine and World War III. What's your take?
My take is it's all a proxy war for bankers and money laundering, and we need to get out of there. Quit feeding them money, but we're not going to, because that's the scam right now, and nobody's going to step up to stop them. And as far as the dam goes, it doesn't surprise me if it was the Ukraine, and it wouldn't surprise me if it was Russia that did it. You know, all's fair in war, as they say. Unfortunately, yeah. And a lot of innocent people have to suffer because of it.
Yeah, and you know, Rolo Slavsky, I think, Joe, who you're referring to, I've read his, I haven't caught up with his Substacks, but you know, he's making good points. And Riley Wagaman as well, who was recently with Jesse Zerwell on TNT, questioning the Russian government and their either ineptitude or agenda. But you know, there does seem to be some sort of playing along here. I don't know, but yeah, thanks for the call, Joe. We are about out of time. There's the music. Any, you know, final thoughts, Randy, and how do people find you, and what are some of the stuff you're working on?
Right now I'm working on a clip with Sam Tripoli on Tinfoil Hat with Jimmy Dore, calling out the media when it comes to Ukraine, COVID, and all the various psyops that are going on. So look out for that in the next couple of days. Find me on Twitter. I'm usually roaming there. Soundwave Promo 1. That's the number 1. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks for coming back. You should buy the get the blue tick. Pay up for. I'm just kidding.
No,
Elon Musk. I'm being silly. All right.
I'm trying not to. Everybody keeps telling me to, but I'm like, I'm holding out. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.